Last week, Reverend Jennifer spoke about learning to ski. This morning, I'm talking about scars. I have to admit that it didn't occur to me until the middle of her preaching last Sunday that it might occur to some of you that there was a connection between the two. And I won't deny the possibility of one, especially considering how painful my efforts were one afternoon on a ski slope, but I want you to know that no relation was intended. Scars. I have my share. You probably have yours as well. The vestiges of the wounds we've endured, either sometimes visible on our skin or hidden away, or sometimes even visible from the inside out. In our covenant group program here at First Unitarian Universalist, one of the topics that has proven to draw out some of the deepest reflections is on scars. Returning to Jane Hirschfield's poem from earlier, "See how the flesh grows back across a wound, with a great vehemence more strong than simple, untested, the simple, untested surface before." There's a name for it on horses. When it comes back darker and raised, proud flesh. As all flesh is proud of its wounds, wears them as honors given out after battle, small triumphs pinned to the chest. With those words still resonating in the room in those covenant group sessions, folks listen to one another reflect on these questions. How did you get your scar? What happened? What was the injury that caused the break, the mark on your skin? What are some of your scars that can't be seen? Share, if you like, a story that left a scar that most of us wouldn't recognize. What has been the impact of your scar? Do you display your scars with pride or hide them in disgust or with shame? And finally, what has helped you heal from a visible or an invisible hurt that has left a scar? When I was 11 years old or so, a precocious young Unitarian Universalist lad, the daughter of church friends of my parents would often come over after school and stay until her folks came home from work. My mother was a paramedic on our local volunteer fire department, and so she was home until dinner time, which is usually when the calls came out. And this daughter of friends was maybe 8 or so years old. Once, when my father's parents were visiting, Missy, Granddad, and I were sitting at the kitchen table. "Grandpa Meter," she asked, "why are your hands so crinkly? And what are those dark spots?" I was embarrassed for him and shocked that she would ask the question so bluntly. She had never even met my granddad before. Granddad's hands were thick and strong, and I had hoped to have hands like his someday. But then the hands had become more loose and more modeled. But he didn't seem to mind Missy's question, replying, "When I was young, my skin was soft like yours. Then I got older and it got this way. There's nothing wrong with it, though. It's just old skin." He wasn't embarrassed at all. I learned a lesson that day. My granddad wore his skin like proud flesh. In ways large and small, his hands told how he was born to a farming family in Nebraska, and then went on, and I think I've told this story before, with the help of the town doctor who affectedly adopted him to get an education. He taught high school science and coached the football team, and then he went away to law school during the summers to the University of Chicago and ended up working, heading the Minneapolis branch of the National Labor Relations Board. And while he had become a lawyer, his hands were still farmer's hands. Even though the calluses were gone, you could see their scars still. Then there are the scars that aren't as readily seen. When my brother was in town a couple months ago, I noticed for the first time in years the little scar at the edge of his mouth from that time when I, as a very young boy, pushed him into a rose bush. Yeah, that scar is still here in me now. Others are deeper. And truth be told, not all scars may feel like proud flesh. Several years after the day she sat at the kitchen table with Granddad and myself, Missy was killed in a car accident, another victim of teenage drinking. She was 15. Her parents had adopted her when she was 3. She was their only child. You can imagine, or begin to, their broken hearts. It has been years since I've seen either of her parents. Sandy and Dave's marriage may have stayed intact, but in many ways they went on to lead separate lives. Truth is, I've lost track of them. Last time I saw Dave was 8 or 9 years ago, and it's been at least 20 since I've seen Sandy. I don't know how they've coped with the aftermath of Missy's death. It was a long time ago now. Proud flesh or not, those scars are still there. A few years before he sat at that kitchen table, my grandfather had lost his youngest son. His son, Dave, was 26 when he successfully completed suicide. My grandmother and he took different paths in reconciling that. My grandmother reached out for local services and found that there were no peer support groups. And so she started one in Hennepin County, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the people, the social workers in charge of their Department of Public Health said, well, we're not sure you can do that because you need a professional to lead and we don't have that in the budget. And she said, we don't need any professionals to lead us. Just give us some space. Help us reserve space in the library even. And so my grandmother founded the Hennepin County Suicide Survivors Helping Groups. I don't know if this is a cause, but I'll tell you, my grandfather, who kept that grief more bottled in, never smiled the same way he did before Dave died than after. We had pictures of him partying with friends from the office, wearing a Hawaiian shirt on New Year's Eve, probably drunker than a skunk, with the biggest grin on his face you can imagine. Drunk or not, I never saw that kind of smile on my grandfather's face, ever. Graham was a different story. She healed more fully, I dare say. Those groups gave her an avenue On her last birthday, I remember she was wearing light blue shorts that hid none of her varicose veins, eating ice cream, and having the time of her life. She knew how to live. This Memorial Day weekend, I hope you know who to go to when you need to tell the stories of your scars, whether those scars feel like proud flesh or not. How did you get that scar? What happened? What injury created it? What are some of your scars that can't be as readily seen? Do you display your scars with pride, or do you try to hide them? What has helped you heal from a visible or invisible scar? We often talk about this church community as being one of love and justice, and it is. And it's also a community of memory and hope. We remember with each other the stories of our lives, our moments of promise and triumph, times when we found ourselves challenged like never before, and the times when our scars were made. Here we remember those we have lost and the impact those losses have had on us. Here we remember that some of our scars really are proud flesh. Despite the pain that caused them, we can see them as milestones and markers of what we individually or together have endured and survived. Thank you.